Our text for Pentecost is John 14. I think it starts at verse 23 through 31. John 14, 23 through 31. Preliminary comments. We've been reading John during this season. We did John 16 earlier. John 14 was read. Part of it was read earlier too during this ecclesiastical season. And to follow Dr. Bartle's art here, if Genesis 11 is a story of confusion, Pentecost is the event of fusion, if you will.
No, it's good.
Unity. Diverse people are brought together. Their languages are morphed into one language, the language of love and peace, as this text is going to tell us. And all happening because of this unifier. Jesus Christ makes a big difference in the lives of people. His word goes out as a word that calls people from all races and nations and tongues to His feet, so they will all be one, holding the Father as God, as their own Father. There we go. Verse 23. Jesus, this is standard format for John, Jesus answered and said to him, whom is mentioned in verse 22, somebody's asking him a question. This is Judas, the one who is not Iscariot, asked Jesus, Lord, whatever has happened that you are about to emphasize and to make manifest or to reveal yourself, say our tone, kaiuki tokosmu, whatever has happened that you are about to manifest yourself to us and not to the world. Some kind of a special revelation for people who have been brought to Jesus Christ in a very unique way, which may still continue to be a mystery to folks who are out there, not yet part of the household of God. That's the context of this discourse that Jesus is going to deliver at this time. Remember, this is actually happening in the upper room. The promise of the Holy Spirit is the context of all this, and therefore it is relevant that this text is read during this special day of Pentecost. The church celebrates diversity as the one message of the gospel goes out to all people. And the response from Jesus, verse 23, apakrite Jesus kai epinauto, Jesus answered and said to him, Eantis agapa me ton logon mo teresai. Two good words here. If anyone loves, present tense, if anyone loves me, the word of mine, he will keep, with an intention there, he will keep. He's my word. He will keep my word. And the Father of mine will love him. Again, the future with the present implication, will love him. Kai pros auton eliosomata kai monen para auto poesomata. Eliosomata is elkamai elusomai. Elusomata, that is in the future, and note that is a plural, first person plural. So this is Pentecost, the Father and the Son together, Elusomata will come, kai monen para auton. Mone is a fancy word also for John. Monen is, we know this is a dwelling place, residence, and remember the connection of mone with the word meno, remain. Jesus speaks about remain in me as the branches remain in the wine, and without me, apart from me, you can do nothing. So that remaining sense is very significant here. There is also the singular plural thing happening here. The first person plural there is significant. Elusomata, we will come. Is the Trinity already played out in this case, as we kind of signified that in the Old Testament as well? Something is happening together. Ahad the Rim is probably at work here as well. The connection between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as Christians already know. We will come and make our dwelling with Him. to the one who comes to him, to the one who keeps his word and loves him, according to verse 23, 24. Hame agapon me tus logos mu u terai. This is the antithesis to what is already proposed in verse 23. Me agapon, the agapon is the participle of agapao. Ha agapon me, the one who not loving me, tus logos mu u terai, does not keep my words. That's the conclusion of the whole thing. Hai ha logos ha akuete uk estin emos ala tu pemsandas me patros. And the words that you hear, again present tense, the words that you hear akuete, the singular, the ha logos ha akuete, the word that you hear is not my word, but of the one who sent me, the Father. So, when I use the word perichoresis, something is happening here. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are together in this. Halogos being singular is also significant. Not just one word, as Andy Bartel said, the whole logia of Jesus. Whatever has been revealed from the Father through the Son, in his actions, in his words, in his commentary of heaven that has come down to the earth, all that is implied in this one singular hologos. Verse 25. Tau talaleleka human par human emo menon. Menon is again the present participle of meno, remaining, a fancy word again for John. Remember, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, God's remaining and taking his residence among us, amidst us. And so while he was remaining, definitely the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, these words I have spoken, lelaleka, in the perfect sense, to you while I am remaining with you. Implied sense that soon the day of his departure is soon coming. Verse 26. Hade parakletos to pnoima to hagion ha pemsai ha pater ento onamati mu ekainos humas didaxai panta kai hypomnesai humas panta ha epon human ego. That's a lot. That's a long sentence. Okay? So let's go back. Ha parakletos, introducing another strange person here. On the other hand, the paraclete, legal counsel, advisor, comforter, as we call him. And he is described in the next phrase, ta pneuma, pneuma ta hagion, the Spirit, the Holy One, ha pempsai, that's future pempo, ha pater is the subject of the sentence, the Father, the Spirit, the Holy One, whom the Father shall send, ento onomati mu, note that one. In my name, Jesus is a speaker. He it is. Humas didaksai pataka hypnomesai. Didasko is a big word. He shall teach you. He will teach you panta, inclusive everything. Kai hypnomesai. A good word for us teachers and pastors and students to know. Hypnomeso is to remember. Mimnesko, right? Hypnomesai is to bring to memory. Two fundamental functions of the Holy Spirit, the teacher. He not only teaches, but he also brings to memory. Especially for us taking tests now, this is a good word to remember. Yeah. Panta, again, very inclusive. I like this word. Panta. Everything ha apon himo human ego. The things I, lego apon, I spoke to you. The revealer, the final word, the only word from God the Father to humanity is Jesus Christ. Halagos sal segreto. And he not only came as the incarnate word, he spoke. And now he promises the Spirit will come to continue to teach that and also to remind us of what the Lord has taught us. Now, verse 27. Evenin api emin human. I, api, human, api, emi, human. I live, erene. This is a shalom word. Peace I live with you. Evenin ten emen didomi human. So the first verb is apiemi, leave. I leave with you with a sense of I'm departing, but my peace remains with you. And second verb here is didomi. I give a gift. He is the Prince of Peace, right? And then he now in word and in promise gives us his word. He may physically be away, but his word remains with us as a word of peace. And emphasis here is ten emin, evenin, my peace. And later on we know that this is not the peace that the world is able or even claiming to give us. And that's how the second part of the sentence goes. Hakatos hakos u katos hakosmos didosin, not as the world gives. Again, didosin is the third person singular, present tense, ego didomi humin. Repetition is the mother of learning here. I give you is distinct from the peace that anybody else would give, definitely in this case, the world. I don't know if I want to tie this in. The three enemies that we have are flesh, the world, and what is the third one? Yeah, this is the enemy. How can this enemy give God's people peace? This is impossible. He is the spoiler, the disturber, the confuser, like in battle. So this is the opposite. The Lord is giving us, He is leaving with us the peace only He can give. Now, the second part, me terasesto humin he kadia me de dieli ato. Terasso, third person imperative passive here, let not humon he kadia, let not your heart be troubled, agitated, disturbed. If you note, John chapter 14, verse 1 started that way. Me terasesto humin he kadia. So this is the continuation of the same speech. And what is offered here is, in the place of terror and unrest, peace, only the Lord can bring to us. Terasesto humin he kadia. Again, heart is the seat of emotion, anger, distress, and confusion, and peacelessness. And mede, neither nor, mede, dieli aso is the word to play cowardice. How do you translate this? Let not it be plagued with cowardice. Let it not play the coward. So be strong and be bold because you are receiving the peace from above. In verse 28, ekusate eris akuo, you heard that ego apon human, you have heard, I will translate with that freedom, as you have heard that I have said to you, and ego apon is aorist here, you have heard that I have said this to you, hypago kai erkamai prosumas, and I am departing, hypago and erkamai, and I am coming. Push that into the future, I will come toward you. Definitely an eschatological sense added to this. This is pre-crucifixion and pre-death of Jesus, but the Paraclete is promised the age of Pentecost is coming, and he is setting the stage for his disciples, his church, to listen to this. And you know, the church has been prepared to know that the Lord is departing, but he is coming, proshumas. And I would like to think this has a very personal churchy sense to it, with the humors, I am leaving you, but I am coming back to you. In the context of the speech given to the disciples, the church can be bold to anticipate his coming back to us. E egapate me ekarete anhati poriumai prostan patera. Now, this is a conditional clause, pretty tricky, I would like to think. Is it contrary to fact? You don't have it because you don't get it anyway. Okay, egapate, if you, this is imperfect, egapate, if you kept on loving me, I'm pushing that into a subjective mood here, you would have rejoiced. You would have surely, with the on there, you would have surely, you would have certainly you would have rejoiced hearty, introduced in the relative class, that I am going for you by post and patella. After all, he is leaving, but he is going nowhere. He is going to the Father. He has done the mission, and he is returning to report back to the Father. I am going to the Father. Hati ha pater meizon no ethin. Because the Father is comparative greater than I am. You do the math. You got the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Son came into this world as he was commissioned by the Father. Now he is, in this sense, the Son is reporting back to the Father, the one who is greater than him. I'd like to see the word apostolos here, but it's not here. In this case, the apostle would be the one who is sent is as good as the sender. And when the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are together in this business, I do not worry about the maison word. He is doing the work, and he is reporting back to the Father. And it is in that sense that if you want to do the Jesus being subject to God the Father theology, that's fine. But the whole soteriology works together.
But can I just jump in there? There's a lot of talk in missions about the sort of missiological sending of the Father to the Son of the Spirit, that the Trinity itself is kind of missional in that sense.
Yes.
But the helpful point you're making is kind of keeping the economic Trinity conversation, in a sense, distinct from the ontological conversation. In terms of the economy, you can have the Father sending the Son, and in that sense is greater. But in terms of the ontology of the Trinity, you wouldn't make the distinction that one is greater or lesser than the other.
No, you wouldn't. But when the Son accomplishes the mission he was given to accomplish, the Father is pretty much involved in it.
Yeah.
The lesson that we read today about Mantua will mention that God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's the goal of the whole thing. God desires. When the Son accomplishes it, God rejoices, looking up from above, from heaven. Yeah.
That's good.
Excellent point. Yes. Verse 29, then, Kai nun ereka himin print genestai. There is that futuristic sense to it. Ereka, lego, ero, ereka, this is the perfect. Now, nun, I have spoken to you, print, not the genestai, that's an aorist and an infinitive, and print with the infinitive, and there's an accusative there. That is giving the temporal sense. Before ginamai is to happen, before it would take place. So he is already forewarning, as it were, his listeners that this is soon to happen. Hina hotan, this is a good teacher as Jesus is. Hina hotan genetai, and that's an aorist subjunctive. Hina takes a subjunctive. Pistuete, this is the purpose. And when it shall happen, you will believe. This is for your sake. So, Tera says, let not your hearts be troubled. Be at peace within yourself, and in this case, have also faith. This is soon to happen. Verse 30. Ukete pola laleso bethimon. No longer, laleso, I shall speak with you. Enough is enough. Much has been said. There's a limit to what you can take. I am now leaving. Erkatai garho tu kosmo alkon. There is the word cosmos again. Now, Andy, help me out here. Is there any other place where this expression comes, calling the devil as the ruler of this world? Maybe there are. The alkon, very powerful word, and he's the ruler of the world. The principalities and powers, we have that multiplication, and the powers. But the ruler of this world, the evil doer, and the one who has always been at work, working against the values and principles and plan of God, always active, many times even within the household of God, the ruler of the world, El Kata, he is coming. We know he's already here, but he's coming. So the Lord of the church is departing. Is the devil even thinking that, he made his day, now it's mine. He is coming. This is just a note of warning to the folks the Lord has left in his name on the face of this earth. Lord of this world, he is coming, and the comfort comes right after the semicolon. Kai enamoi uk eke uren. And this one has nothing with me. Uk oiden. Uren is already negative, and uk, he has nothing. This one has nothing with me or against me. He can do nothing to me at all. We know that the victory has been won on the cross, and the devil is probably wagging his tail. That's about it. Verse 31. Allah hina gno ha kosmos hati agapo tan patera. Now, definitely, I must bring in the word mission here. This is missional. Not the subject there. Now, in order that, Gnosko, this is the air subjective of Gnosko, in order that her cosmos may know, that the world may know. This is the Gnosko in a very unique sense, because the world knows the Lord in a sense, but the total knowledge, the apocalypse in its totality of God is given to his people in a specific way. And the church is now put in a place that the church would be in mission to tell the world, to make known, glorizo kind of thing, to the whole world. So this is the mission that the church is given. In order that the world may know that agapo tan patera, I love the Father, kai kathos enete lato moiha pater, and as the Lord, as the Father has entelamai, this is aorist, as the Father has commanded me, just as the Father has commanded me, thus hutos poyo, thus I do. The Father and the Son are together in this case, and the Son accomplishes what the Father's will is for the world. And the church here, if I may say so, inject the church in this place, church may know that the Father accomplishes what he wills in his Son. This is a message getting the church ready for the coming of the Holy Spirit, as we read earlier in verse 26. When the Spirit comes, he is going to teach, continue to teach, and also help us remember. Discourse ends, and this is a fitting conclusion to the discourse. Ege reste. Egeiro is to rise. This is passive imperative. Stand up, rise, argomen. This is a subjunctive, hortative. Let us go, leave, into them, from this place. In my down to earth vocabulary, let's get out of here. The business is done. Let's be on our feet and doing our mission. That's how the text ends here. Yeah, it has definitely that eschatological sense to it. The Son has accomplished his mission as he is leaving. And he is not leaving us orphaned, as chapter 14 already promised us. He is sending the Spirit, and he will continue to teach us and remind us. And he also sends us forth in mission, so that the confusion that took place at Babel now turns around to be a fusion of people coming to the greatest mountain of all, in Jesus Christ.